Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, the Dow Jones is about to break 20,000. It's very possible. And then IBM's director CEO is saying that they are going to rehire 25,000 employees over the next couple of years. Small business, well, they're more optimistic now than in the last 8 years. And in the midst of all this, the Democrats and the establishment types led by John Podesta are clamoring for a delay in the Electoral College vote until a firm study can be given to all of the electoral voters relative to the alleged Russian hacking, even though the White House just said there's no evidence of any direct Russian impact. Their goal seems to me to be to stall the progress that's taking place, dilute the optimism, and to destroy the building hope being created by this new Trump administration. The logical question is, why and what in the world do these people want to accomplish? We're going to talk about that in this first segment. Then in segments 2, 3, and 4, we're going to bring in our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today, for our regular Middle East-focused geopolitical and prophetical update, where we will consider a couple of things. One, the fear of an EMP attack in Israel. Secondly, we're going to talk about the Syrian win in Aleppo, but the humanitarian disaster left in its wake. And then we're going to conclude talking about Israel's hope that the Trump administration will, in fact, move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. What that means, who's going to like it, and who is not going to like it. You're not going to want to miss the discussion today. And with that, I welcome all of you to Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr, and I'll be joined by David Kistler and Gary Dahl. The whole team is here today. As well, as I said, we'll bring in Dr. Jimmy DeYoung in segments 2, 3, and 4. With that being said, Dave, let me go to you first on this, if you don't mind. It's incredible what seems to be happening. Actually, the four of us were actually talking a little bit about this off air just before the program began. First, it was Ford who decided not to move their Kentucky plant to Mexico. Then Carrier agreed to keep its 1,000 employees in Indiana. Small business, the research is indicating they're optimistic, they're hiring. Then U.S. Steel says it's going to rehire 10,000 laid-off employees. Now IBM says it's going to rehire 25,000 employees. I think that this is absolutely remarkable that these things are occurring and that this is still in the window of President-elect Trump. And we're still 5 days away from being officially elected when the Electoral College meets. The logical question here, and I'm going to ask to you, Dave, how do you explain such amazing turnaround in such a period of time? And what are you hearing for other people? But because there's something happening that is almost as remarkable in some respects as the win in November 8th.
Well, Sam, I'm going to quote a gentleman that our friend Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who will be on with us shortly, knows and knows well, and that is Dr. Lee Robertson used to say years ago, and he was the pastor of the great Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga and Tennessee Temple University, but he said everything rises and falls on leadership, and that is absolutely correct. If our listening audience, some that are old enough, will remember back to what happened in 1980, we talked about it on this program before, the minute Ronald Reagan was inaugurated, those hostages were released in Iran because everything rises and falls on leadership. We have a man coming in as president-elect, soon to be president of the United States, 45th president, who is an economic genius, a business genius. And I think what we're watching happen in the business world is reflective of the fact they have great confidence in what he is going to bring to the table from a business standpoint and well beyond just a business standpoint. When he's willing to stand up like he did in Wisconsin yesterday, gentlemen, and say, we're not going to be politically correct, we're going to say Merry Christmas, and he exerts that kind of leadership across the board, there can't be anything but the kind of positive response we're watching.
Dave, I think that's a great way to look at leadership. It rises and falls. Leadership must communicate a confidence, a direction, a vision, and with that comes hope. wrong leadership, bad leadership, like the last 8 years, communicates just the exact opposite. So what a study in contrast we have going forward here. Gary, I had a question laid out. I'm going to rephrase it slightly for you, because this is what Dave was talking about. Gary, do we run a risk here in just another minute or two with you? Do we run a risk if we're not careful here in this nation now at this point when we see these things happening? The mood is clearly changing. The attitudes of people are clearly more optimistic. There, to me, appears to be a more genuine hope, not the false Barack Obama hope and change, but this is real hope. Gary, from your perspective, do we run a risk if we're not careful that we put our hope in government and we take our eyes off of God here?
You know, that's a very good question, Sam. It's an exceptionally good question because we've talked about that many, many times on this program in the past couple of weeks, that since Donald Trump has been elected, it appears as though there's a new look in Washington, a new attitude in Washington, a new feel in Washington, and not only in Washington, but all across the United States of America. I think one of the things that, we need to take into consideration is the fact that many Christians prayed that God would raise up somebody who could bring a revival into this nation, economically, politically, and even spiritually. And whether we would want to admit it or not, we believe that Donald Trump has been raised up by God for that particular purpose. Now, it's not necessarily Donald Trump that is going to bring that revival. It's not just the fact that our hope is in Donald Trump. Our hope must be in the Lord. And if we want to see this nation turn back to God, that is where we've got to put our focus, on the Lord, hoping in Him, depending upon Him, seeking His direction, and then we will be able to see God do in this nation what He wants to do. You see, when we put our hope in man or in horses, the arm of the flesh will fail us. But when we put our hope in God, we will see the victory.
Gary, ladies and gentlemen, what you've just heard in this first opening minutes here is something you don't hear on any other program across the country. It's a combination of the issues of the day, but from a biblical perspective. So whereas we're saying, let's notice and be glad for the change that we're seeing, let's also be cautious that we don't put our hope in those things which we see and not in God Himself. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I want to put before you what we've mentioned yesterday for the first time. We want to put before you a challenge. We've had a donor come step up and give us a challenge of $15,000. Anything given this month by you listeners, we don't ask for it very often, but we are asking for you to help us now. Anything that you give us now between the end now and the end of the month will be doubled up to $15,000. And this is for the expansion of a studio setup that we have here to get us involved in doing some video and other things that people are asking for. You have been asking for those in the pulpit. And for those who give this month, they're going to get several bonuses that you will get as a result. We're going to mention them at the beginning of the segments as we go through the program. But you go to standinthegapradio.com, and there you can give online. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. You are listening to Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today. And we're going to go to Syria and talk about now that the fact that they control Aleppo, the ceasefire is not holding. But at what cost has Aleppo, the battle for Aleppo, been won? We're going to talk about that and a host of other things in the Middle East when we come back.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But waiting different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, Virginia, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
He caught a chill riding horseback several hours in the snow while inspecting his Mount Vernon farm. The next morning, it developed into acute laryngitis and the doctors were called. Their response was to bleed him heavily four times, a process of cutting one's arm to let the bad blood out, and have him gargle with a mixture of molasses, vinegar, and butter. But despite their best efforts, they could not save former President George Washington. And he died this day, December 14, 1799, at the age of 67. George Washington's last words were, "Father of mercies, take me unto thyself."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? I know you always said how important it is, but the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading by Linda Monk says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, "We the people" didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians for Restoring Education brought you this message. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. And before we get going with our guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, I just want to pick up on what I mentioned in the first segment. This is, we're asking this to be a giving month here. We are appealing to you, our listeners across the country. God has allowed this program to be on now over 425 stations nationwide from coast to coast. Our estimate is over a couple of million people a day are listening to this program, should those averages be correct. So you could be listening wherever you are. You could be listening in a lunchroom today. You could be making lunch. You could be listening delayed, as many do, to this program. But you are critically important to us. We hope that we are being of value to you by bringing you information from a biblical and constitutional perspective that is true, that is trustworthy, but is certainly different than anywhere else you're going to find anywhere else on the radio or TV. But let me put before you, we need your help. As God has allowed us to expand and to provide more options, we have more demands placed upon us, and we need to upgrade our studio. We have someone who stepped up and offered $15,000 as a matching grant if the listeners of Stand in the Gap today would step up now between now and the end of the month and help us. But we want to give you something in return to that. When you go to standinthegapradio.com, you can find the address to mail to us, or you can give online. But if you give between now and then, it'll be doubled, but we'll also send you a new report that's generally reserved for others, but you give this month, you'll get it. It's a Stand in the Gap Radio Insider's Report, which is a bit of a summary of some of the highlights of this program during the week. We'll email that to you on a regular basis, and Gary will also send him another bonus with a CD. Tell us just quickly about what that is.
Well, Sam, that bonus is a CD of a message that you delivered actually at the Central Pennsylvania Bible Conference here in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And the subject was, what will it take for God to bless America? And you did a fine job on that particular sermon. And for anybody who gives anything to the ministry in the month of December, we will be happy to send them that CD for their edification and information. It's a very, very good CD that will certainly encourage them as we go forward here in the United States of America to try to bring truth back to God.
Good. Thank you, Garrett. Ladies and gentlemen, hope that you note that, and we'll update you as we go through the program and the balance of this month. And with that, let me welcome in Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today. Jimmy, thanks for being with us today.
Always a joy to be with you guys. Thank you so very much for inviting me.
Well, it's always a pleasure for us as well. Jimmy, let's go right here directly, because you are our geopolitical expert in the Middle East on those items and from a prophetical perspective. Here, let's start here in Syria. The battle for ISIS against ISIS has recently centered on Aleppo. The Syrian forces led by President Assad have retaken that city. That was taken just a couple of days ago, but there was a ceasefire put in place because of so many civilians that have been trapped. Yet that ceasefire, I heard, was broken yesterday, so I'm not sure it in fact will last. But when I look at some of the pictures of that city, it looks like it has just been totally blown to smithereens. I want to start with you, Jimmy, and by asking you this question. Bring our listeners up to date on the status of that war against ISIS in Syria, and specifically the battle for Aleppo. Where does it really stand? Who controls this city? And what's happening here? Just put that in perspective for us, please.
Well, of course, the situation in Aleppo is changing from moment to moment. When I give a report right now, it may be different within the next hour. In the last 24 hours, mixed reports coming out of Aleppo. Remember, Aleppo was the second largest city in the nation of Syria. Some have even said it's the largest city. Second would be then Damascus. But Aleppo has been the focus. When you listen to the news stories, especially the BBC, who cover the world, with their news reports, they have been on an hourly basis updating everybody. Bashar Assad seemed to have won the battle there in Aleppo. Now, I'm not so sure the focus has been on Islamic State. They are in Raqqa, and they're going to move to Raqqa after they have been able to take charge of Aleppo. But it's been more the rebels trying to bring down Bashar Assad than it has been Islamic State. The ceasefire was set in place, and that ceasefire brokered by Russia and Turkey. They set in place a ceasefire for 24 hours to allow the civilians to leave Aleppo, and so then that the Assad forces could finish it off. I know it looks like a war-torn area that cannot be rebuilt in any way, shape, or form. They were also going to allow the rebel forces to leave, Sam, and many of the people that live in Aleppo who are still remaining in that city, it's amazing anybody's remaining there, but those who have been pro-Assad and his military forces defeating the rebel forces, they've not really wanted to let these rebels leave. They said they have destroyed their homes, their families, their businesses, and everything else. Well, I tell you what's happened. The Russians and the Syrians have renewed bombing there because they believe the rebels are not leaving. They're just turning as they go out this avenue that they've been given to escape Aleppo. They're going out, they turn on the Assad forces, and they're starting to kill them. It's an unbelievable humanitarian disaster in the location. Nobody in the world is stepping up, it seems. Even the United Nations is running for the hills on the situation. And I have to tell you, I am so thrilled that I am not in that area, but I do have a heart and a prayer for those people who are there. It's a bad situation. But it is, I believe, indeed setting the stage ultimately for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled.
Dr. Jimmy, let me ask you this. From what we have heard and been told, this was going to be the last stand for ISIS. Can you bring our listeners up to date on what is actually going on with ISIS, their leadership, and their strategy for going forward?
Well, they're more involved in the Mosul situation. They have sent major leaders from Islamic State over to Mosul to elect a successor to al-Baghdadi. They're trying to hold that down, and they're not so much involved in Aleppo. It's those rebel forces, I understand, David, that are fighting in an effort to try to bring Bashar Assad down. Now, they seem to be losing at every place in the entire state of Syria, and there is more concern. There are some Islamic State radicals. There are some agents in there from Islamic State, but there's a Duke's mixture of jihadists who have joined together in this rebel forces, and it's looking like it's been led mostly by the Muslim Brotherhood out of Egypt because of their situation in Libya and Egypt in the past, their desire to bring down King Abdullah over in Jordan, and now they're trying to see if they can get it over and bring Bashar Assad out. It doesn't look like they're going to win the forces of the Syrians with the propping up of the Iranians and the Russians. Seem to be giving Assad the upper hand as far as this is concerned.
Jimmy, you know, as we can look at it from this perspective where we are halfway around the world, it appears as though things are pretty bad over there in Syria. You take into consideration the cost in human life, particularly in the historic sites, as well as the general economy, if there even is an economy that's standing there in Syria. All of this seems to be extraordinarily damaged. And I'm wondering if you can give us an insight into what the cost of this war is in Syria, as well as this battle for Aleppo really is. I mean, it seems like it's a tremendous cost, not only financially, but in many other ways as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, financially, of course, it's going to be a disaster. To be able to rebuild the state of Syria is going to have the help from the nations of the world. There's going to have to be a coalition that is put together, and I don't know that that's going to be possible because most of the rest of the world leaders, don't want Assad in there. In fact, Syria is the main focus of Saudi Arabia. They want to get rid of Bashar Assad. They hate them more than they do the Iranians almost, and so they are ready with their forces, about 350,000, to go into Syria should the rebels fail to bring down Bashar Assad. And Syria, of course, would need the support financially from Saudi Arabia and some of the other oil-rich Middle Eastern nations. I don't think that's going to happen. It's billions and trillions of dollars that we're looking at that has been lost. I mean, this is a civil war 5 years old, 500,000, over 500,000 people, and that may be a low estimate. It could be as high as 700,000 people have lost their lives. So the really big cost in this battle has to be human life, and then to be able to bring it back financially, I'm not sure it's going to be able to happen. They're not going to have the cost to be able to rebuild. It's a stage setter, as I said a moment ago, with all that's going to happen in the future. We do know what the future calls for. We do know what's going to happen, and Russia and Iran are there permanently. Russia has permanent bases, a naval base, an Air Force base. That'll help the economy to some extent. That'll help the rebuilding. Iran is wanting a permanent base in Syria as well. That would assist in the economic situation. But I'm not sure the rest of the world is going to want that to happen in light of what has taken place already.
Well, Jimmy, you got about 30 seconds left here before we go to the break. But in reality, what you have is you have Syria that's defined by geographical boundaries, but it has no strength left, really. As you say, it really is replaced by Iran and Russia, which makes it a very interesting circumstance, doesn't it?
It certainly does, because that's Daniel 11 scenario for the end times. Out of the north will come Gog, and Magog, the land, which is Russia. Then you've got Syria, the number one nation to move against the Jewish state of Israel, joined with their other allies, Iran, Saudi Arabia, who may be a foe now, but they could become a friend very quickly. And they're all at Israel's northern border. That is an absolute, we know that will be the future for Syria.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue now in the next segment with our guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today. And we're going to go to the nation of Israel, and we're going to talk about the threat of an EMP attack on Israel. We're going to talk about how serious is it, how prepared Israel for it, who's issuing that threat, and because it's a big deal. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay with us, and we'll be right back after these announcements.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The prosecution rests in Dylann Roof's federal hate crimes trial for the Charleston, South Carolina church shooting. The last witness was a survivor, Polly Shepard, who says Roof asked if he'd shot her yet and then said he wasn't going to. Nine people died.
Roof's legal team says they too will call witnesses, even though they asserted his guilt to the jury during opening statements, making an early request they vote to send him to prison for life in lieu of sentencing him to death.
Fox's Evan Brown. The movie Manchester by the Sea leads the Screen Actors Guild nominations with four up for Best Cast. That's the big award.
Captain Fantastic, Fences, Hidden Figures, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight.
TV shows with three nominations: The Crown, Game of Thrones, The People vs. O.J. Simpson, Stranger Things, and Westworld. Fox News, we report, you decide.
WFYL. From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Our communications team here at Pennsylvania Family Institute, headed by Director Dan Bartkowiak, has been doing some great work in getting the word out about pro-life and pro-family issues. One most recent example is his work exposing Planned Parenthood and what they do with your tax dollars. In a post on our Facebook page is a video Dan put together showing how Pennsylvania Planned Parenthood got a 15% raise from taxpayers last year, and yet has closed five facilities, is providing thousands fewer cancer screenings and STD tests, and yet performed 600 more abortions than in the previous year. They do more than half the abortions in Pennsylvania every year. You would benefit from seeing our great communications, and here's how. First, like our Pennsylvania Family Institute and Council Facebook page. And second, sign up for our e-alert email service at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Now, before we go to Israel, I just want to pick up again, listeners, and say that this month is Giving Month, and we want to ask you to help us to expand our studio here to allow us to do more things that are being asked by you, listeners, and by pastors and others with whom we are communicating across the country. Everything given this month will be matched up to $15,000. I encourage you, if the program means something to you, as we know from traveling the country, we know it means a lot to so many of you. You mean a lot to us. We would like to ask you to not only pray for us, but also help us right now financially. And we said anybody who gives anything this month will get our insider report, which will come weekly to you. And you'll also get a CD of a sermon I preached on God's plan for a blessed nation. But Dave, for those who step up and give an additional amount, $250 or more, there is a special bonus that's going to go to them, including the other two items we just mentioned that they will also get. Tell us about that.
Sam, what we're going to be able to provide to those that give $250 or more is a beautiful Founders Bible, which is produced by Wall Builders and David Barton. The front is a beautiful cover, leather cover, that'll have embossed on it the APN, American Pastors Network logo. But also inside the Bible is the entire text of Scripture, of course, 2,300 total pages, but 1,000 of those pages, Sam, includes information about the founding era, the scriptures that the founders used as the basis for the original founding documents, what chapters inspired the founders in their fight for independence, and all of this information, Sam, will help those who give that $250 donation or more understand the sacrifices that our founders made because of their biblically based beliefs. And this Bible will help our listeners learn more about America as a Christian nation than any other volume out there. Sam, this is an incredible, incredible volume. And again, we're delighted to make it available to anyone who will give $250 or more toward this project. And Sam, what a wonderful gift. What a life-changing, life-altering thing this will be for those who choose to donate.
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. I have one here right before me, and it is a great, great, great Bible, great resource. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are inclined to give, go to our website, standinthegapradio.com. You can give directly online, or you have the address there, and you can write your check out, and you can send it to us at the address there. So we appreciate anything that you can do, and God bless you for that. Jimmy, let's go back to you now and enter back into Israel. We talked about it, about a possible EMT attack. You know, it's amazing. I don't know of a nation in this 21st century that is hated like Israel. And throughout the world, they have had, I mean, throughout history, they've had threats against them. Nations have come against them. We know they've attempted to be totally destroyed. And now Israel's back. They're in that land. 1948, they moved in there. And a lot of things being done. God has really blessed them, but they have threats continually. But some threats actually kind of rise above the others. This EMT threat that now seems to be surfacing, what is this, and how significant is a threat is it, and who's it coming from? Can you tell us?
Well, I'll be happy to do that. Let me just put a parenthesis in here just for a second. I want to answer your question, but I just feel compelled. This is an unsolicited testimonial that I want to bring to your audience, Sam, Gary, and Dave. This opportunity that the people listening to you have to reach this nation with the truth, biblical truth, constitutional truth, has to be taken care of. The American Pastors Network, there's no parallel in all of America with that. The 425 radio stations, I mean, that's an unknown. And I don't know that anybody had put that kind of a network together to do what these guys are doing. And it's got a true focus as far as a talk program. Look at here. You've got a former politician who would probably still like to be a politician. You have a pastor of a church, and you have an itinerant evangelist that travels all over the nation making impact the way he is. Folks, you got to support Stand in the Gap Radio. You've got to get that money up. Boy, $15,000, that's just pocket change for some of you out there. We need to take care of this. Now, having said that, nobody asked me to say it. I just wanted to pass it along because I'm so impressed with this ministry.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome. Let me get to this EMP attack situation. First of all, I'm not sure what I even know about EMP attacks. I think what I understand is that it's a nuclear weapon of some type fired into the atmosphere. It explodes and it wipes out every bit of electronics underneath the area that's going to be covered by that. I think that's what I understand, and there's a lot more that probably needs to be understood, but we need to be waking up to it. United States is lollygagging along. They're not getting involved. Israel, you know, they have a small little nation over there, about 7 million people surrounded by over 400 million enemies that want to wipe them out. And one of the unique ways that it's going to be brought to the table is this EMP. The National Emergency Management Agency sees this as a possible scenario Joshua Wander says that Iran and North Korea have got EMP opportunities right now. They're concerned about Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. They already have incorporated the EMP into their military doctrine. In other words, they're ready to use this device to go after what nation they need to. In fact, Iran has had practices on ship launched, in other words, in the sea, out there in the Mediterranean, over in the Persian Gulf. Iran has practiced ship-launched EMP attacks. And so the number one enemy to Israel is still Iran, and beyond their development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction, but a capability for an EMP attack. And the Israelis, as they look at the situation, they have to be prepared for something like this. They're too small a nation to not want to know and what they need to do and know more about it. Finally, they're waking up to it. Finally, they're watching the United States doing in slow speed what should be done and fast forward as possibly quickly as you possibly can. They're alert to the dangers, and they're watching, as I said, their number one enemy, Iran. They believe that's where the main attack will come from. And at this point, there's a relationship between Russia and Israel, China and Israel. But that could deteriorate very, very quickly as this world is going through what they're doing today. That's the case. Now, how are they going to deal with it? That's another question. Their best defense is an offense. That's always been Israel's philosophy in dealing with these situations. In other words, Israeli intel in Iran can report to them about the EMP possibilities. They can then do an instant attack. The Israeli Defense Force is still on high alert, even though it seems like Donald Trump may come in and try to wipe out or tear up that deal, that nuclear deal with Iran. In fact, he's going to meet the first world leader he'll meet with is Prime Minister Netanyahu. Netanyahu said in the last 48 hours, I've got five great ideas that I want to discuss with President Trump and help him to know how to get rid of this Iranian threat of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. In addition to that, the Israelis believe they have to communicate with each other prior to such an attack. Should one take place, there's not going to be great communications at all. And so they're getting their ducks in a row right now. They're meeting. They're having a plan set in place. Everybody knows the plan. Everybody knows their responsibility. They have some new systems. Now, you can't get into a lot of detail. They're not releasing a lot of detail. But the fact is, they understand this world more than any other nation of the world. It's a matter of life and death. The whole nation is at risk of being destroyed by something like this. So they have new systems that can be put in place, and they believe they can get them in there immediately. And, of course, I would have to say that Israel's nuclear program is superior to any other nuclear program in the world. That is key in understanding how they're going to be able to come back. And I don't know how quickly they can do it, but they'll come back faster than anybody else because nobody else seems to be preparing.
You know, that's interesting, Jimmy, that nobody else seems to be preparing like the nation of Israel is against an EMP attack. And, of course, when we look at their history, I should say their modern history, it seems like over and over again, when they were up against a great war or battle, God gave them the grace and the strength to overcome it. And so the question I have for you today is, do you think that God has given the likes of Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump, and particularly others over there in the Knesset in Israel, the wisdom and the strength to defend themselves beyond human imagination?
I think you said it just a moment ago, Gary, when you said it's not men, it's not horsemen, it's God. And you just made that so emphatic. It's God who's going to take care of them. Now, as we look at the personalities, Benjamin Netanyahu is a genius. I mean, you know, Einstein had about a 187. Benjamin Netanyahu has about 237 IQ. So this man is brilliant.
Wow.
As it relates to the technical world, he is on top of that. Israel, remember, has the largest production of software of any other nation in the world, so they have the capability of knowing what to do, how they can do it, when they need to do it. But you couple that with God, who's going to not let this nation be destroyed. You've got a winner all the way.
Jimmy, let me quickly ask you this as we're going into the break. You can sense all over the United States of America. Several of us were in D.C. about 2.5 weeks ago. You could sense it on the Hill, this excitement, this renewed energy, this anticipation of what's going to take place under a Trump administration. I was just at a restaurant. You could sense it there. Is there a renewed expectation in Israel right now that America is going to come to her aid once again and be the friend we used to be?
They believe they have a friend in the White House. They're excited about it. There's some more we can talk about it maybe on the other side of the break.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today, and we are going to pick up after the break, and we're going to stay there in Israel, and we're going to answer that question, and we're going to talk about moving the potentially the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. What difference does it make? It may make a lot of difference. Stay tuned, and we'll talk about that in just a minute or two.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Your child deserves the best. Shouldn't that include an exceptional education? PA Leadership Charter School is a kindergarten through 12th grade online public school serving students across Pennsylvania. Voted number one cyber school in PA, PA Leadership Charter School provides a flexible but structured approach to education. Visit PALCS.org or call 1-877-725-2785 to learn more. That's PALCS.org. PA Leadership Charter School is training tomorrow's leaders today.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Here's Minute with the Master, brought to you by Bella Victor.
Today's question is, what did Jesus come to the earth for? Jesus, the Son of God, came to give us life, everlasting life. In 1 John 5, we read, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. And this eternal life starts by knowing God. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And this knowing of Jesus makes it possible for us to live with God forever, even after a life on earth. In John 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. My dear friend, enjoy this beautiful privilege to have a close relationship with God now and to live close to God even after this life.
This is A Liberating Truth, brought to you by Bella Victor. For more information, contact Bella at MinuteWithTheMaster.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Now, as we've been announcing through the program, for all of those who help us this month, your gift will be doubled, up to $15,000. This is to help us expand our studio. I want you to go to our website, StandInTheGapRadio.com. Again, all of those who give any amount, anything at all, we're going to send you a CD of a sermon, God's Plan for a Blessed Nation. You will enjoy it. It is practical. It's what we need today. And you'll also get a subscription to our weekly Stand in the Gap Radio Insider Report, basically a highlight of some of the themes from this programs of this week. And for those who give $250 or more, we will give you those two. Plus, you'll also get a leather-bound Founders Bible is a gift and a keepsake you will really want to have. Go to our website, StandInTheGapRadio.com, and you can do all of those things right there. So thank you much. I also want to thank from one person I've already heard from to this request, who said she's absolutely going to be helping in this regard. We want to thank her for letting me know, and others who are considering, I pray God that move in your heart to help us. All right, let's go back now to Jerusalem here, and Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, our guest for today. We've talked about it before, and Gary asked that question right at the end of the last segment about, or Dave asked the question, I believe, about the attitude of those in Israel towards the new Trump administration, and whether they are viewing that a Trump administration and the United States as a whole is going to once again become a very good friend. Now, in that regard, Donald Trump has said that he was going to, at some point early on, I think, move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Now, I just want to ask you, does the Israeli government, do they really believe it? Does Benjamin Netanyahu really believe that he will do this?
I've got to tell you, Sam, he does believe. Prime Minister Netanyahu believes that Donald Trump is going to be committed to going along with his announcement that he made during the campaign that he would move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. Now, even during the transition time, the Trump and his staff have said, we will keep our promise. We are going to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. What is key about this and really exciting is 2017 is going to be the 50th anniversary of a united Jerusalem. That's the 50th anniversary of the Six-Day War. And on the fourth day, when the Israeli soldiers took over the Temple Mount and the old city of Jerusalem and reunited the city of Jerusalem for the first time in almost 2,000 years. And so they believe this will go along together with what Donald Trump's team says they are going to do. And now there has to be some reality in this whole situation. A number of presidents have already made such a promise. None of them have followed through. Most of the time it was the State Department that did stop the move. If there's any concern at all about what's going to happen, it's a concern about the new Secretary of State. They don't know enough about him to be excited about him or not be excited about him. They just don't have all the information. They know what Donald Trump stands for. They understand Donald Trump's connection to Israel, even through his own children, his son-in-law, who's an Orthodox Jew, his daughter, who has converted to Orthodox Judaism as well. And so they have a special heart for the Jewish people, for the state of Israel. And so from the inside of the Trump situation, the inner circle, they're really excited, but they're concerned about this man coming into the State Department. Foggy Bottom is a place where all kind of plans for good fall apart because they have a different agenda down there. So they're watching that very, very closely. They do believe it's going to happen. The Jerusalem mayor announced yesterday he is expecting this to happen. He has no reservations about believing it's going to happen. He has said, I am committed to continue building in Jerusalem from now on. I'm never going to stop that. That has to indicate that he is really putting feet to what he believes and moving ahead to continue to build in Jerusalem. I've got to tell you, the Islamic world don't want it to happen. They're very much concerned about it. The Islamic world do not want to recognize Jerusalem as the capital for the Jewish state of Israel. They don't even want to recognize Israel as a right for the Jewish people to have a state in the Middle East. And the Palestinians very much opposed to it because of the fact that they want at least a portion, but not really. They want all of Jerusalem to be their capital for their Palestinian state. So there's a lot of things happening. I just have to remind everybody, Jerusalem became the political capital of the Jewish people some 3,000 years ago. You can read it in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5, when King David captured the Jebusite stronghold of Jerusalem, and the Lord gave him that as the political capital for the Jewish people. Chapter 6 talks about it became the spiritual capital when they moved the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. And chapter 7 is the Davidic Covenant. It's the eternal capital. So it's the political, spiritual, eternal capital for the Jewish people. And anything that kind of encourages them along the line, the U.S. is going to recognize that. That's exciting. But it's going to be in the face of the Islamic world, and they're going to have some battles to deal with.
Dr. Jimmy, I know we have just a couple of minutes left, and we want to ask you if you would be willing, after I ask one more question, if you'd be willing to take us to the throne of grace and pray for our nation, pray for the incoming leadership, and above all things, pray for revival in our land. That's something we've been doing now for weeks. But I want to ask you this. Obviously, if we were to move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, that would send not only a symbolic message, it would send a very real message to the world, to the enemies of freedom, to the enemies of Israel. And Dr. Jimmy, as you well know, the United States played a pivotal role, a very critical role in Israel being declared a nation again in 1948. If we were to move our embassy to Jerusalem, would that send an equally historic and perhaps even prophetic message to the world? And once you answer that question, if you could take us to the throne of grace, I'd appreciate it.
I will certainly do that, Dave, and you're absolutely right. 1948 was key. Had not Harry Truman said, we want to recognize the Jewish state of Israel, they'd have had some real difficulty. And let me just remind everybody, within 24 hours, seven nations surrounding Jerusalem and Israel, the new Jewish state, started to attack. The United States stood strong on their support for the nation of Israel. If they will stand strong against the elements of their world who want to not have a Jewish state nor the capital, the city of Jerusalem, it'll be an amazing thing, and that would be key as far as Jerusalem becoming the capital of the Jewish nation in reality, with even the United States endorsing that. Well, I'm not sure how much time we have, but let me just go to the Lord in prayer. And dear Father, this is a part of everything. God said, I will bless those who bless Israel, my people. That's Genesis chapter 12. And so as the United States prepare to bless the Jewish people, bless them by standing with them. And, of course, that's a two-sided opportunity because the United States has a true representative of what they believe, a God-led government in Israel that is willing to abide by biblical principles so far. Not in every detail, but most of the time. And so the United States, if they're going to bless Israel, that's going to be a blessing. Now, in addition to that, dear Lord, as they continue to make those decisions, we lift up that transition of Donald Trump as becoming the president of the United States. And may he continue on the path that he seems to be going. And may we then see that result in revival as the Christians of this nation do what they're to do biblically. Even though he is the president, we must stand true to what we need to do. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In my name we pray.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today on Stand in the Gap today. From Sam Rohr, David Kistler, and Gary Dahl, and our special guest, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, we ask that you fall on your knees before God in prayer and then stand up and rise up and stand in the gap for truth where you are. God bless you. We'll see you back 23 hours from now.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4th, 1801.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township.